Thank you. chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1. John chapter 5 and verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. If you have up on some of the more modern translations, you'll notice that verse not there. Verse 5, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Everybody say that's a long time. You know what that makes him? If Jesus is around 30 years of old and this man has been suffering with his disease for 38 years, this man has been sick since before Jesus was born. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, will you, or in the King James, wilt thou be made whole? In the New Living Translation, I think it reads something like, do you want to get better? Look at your neighbor and say, do you want to get better? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. I like what God does when he's at rest. Don't you? I think God can get more done when we're sleeping than he can when we're awake. I want to preach to you for a little while this morning. I don't really want to focus so much on the concept of healing and miracles and all such as that. But I want to talk about cooperation with the Spirit of the living God. It's time for us to stop giving God permission when we feel like it. And it's time for us as a group of believers to start being more cooperative with what God is trying to do in the earth and in this community, in this church, and in our families, on our jobs, at home, in our lives. It's time for us to get on board with what God's plan is for us. Amen. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Lord, we're thankful today for the power and the anointing and the authority of the Holy Ghost that we feel right now. And we know that this service is specially ordained. And God, I was concerned as we approached this service today with all of the text messages and phone calls about all of the sick people, the people that would be missing today. I was concerned, oh God, about who would miss out on what you wanted to do today. But I was assured in the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, no matter who showed up in this building today, that there was going to be a move of your Spirit. And God, you have already confirmed your word with the signs of your presence. And now we pray, oh God, let your word, oh God, have free course. Lord, let it accomplish the ends that it needs to accomplish in our lives. Let it challenge every folk theology, every belief of humanity and carnality, and the mind and the rational mind, the wisdom of men, and let your spiritual truth rise up, and let your holy light shine. Lord, draw a line between the light and the darkness, and let us see clearly, oh God, what you are calling and asking us to do in a spirit of cooperation. If you want to cooperate with the Lord, would you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. If you want to cooperate with the Lord, say it again. Amen.
Amen.
If you want to cooperate with the Spirit of the living God, would you shout, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to His name. Hallelujah. Glory to His name. I want to just tell you a few things this morning. The first thing I want to tell you is that God already knows knows what he wants to do. The Bible is clear about one thing, in that he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the creator and he is the destroyer. He knows everything outside of time and creation. All things that are have come about because God has willed it to be so. And we even that are here in this building this morning are not here of our own volition and will, but we are here because God has ordained it to be so. We are here because God, in his power and in his sovereign understanding, has willed it to be so. And I'm glad today, I don't know about you, I'm glad today that I am here and that I am cooperating with what the Spirit wants to do in my life and in this church. God already knows what he wants to do. He already understands what his plans are. He already knows what he is pointing us to, and he understands. He knows the beginning from the end, and he speaks those things that are not as though they already were. And I want to tell you another thing today. God doesn't ever change his mind. You cannot change the mind of God because his word and his mind is settled forever in heaven. I want to just give you a little theological basis today for what I'm about to say, because God is not looking for your permission. The Bible said when Israel rebelled against God at Mount Sinai, God told Moses, said, step aside and I will consume these people in a moment. And that mean that God changed his mind. He said, Moses, I haven't changed my mind. I'll make of you a great nation. But these people aren't worthy. I'll make you a great nation. Step aside, Moses. I want to tell you something. God doesn't change his mind. His will be done. His kingdom will come, no matter what anybody thinks about it. No matter what the devils in hell say about it. When God says it, it is going to come to pass. God doesn't change his mind. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 29, you'll never guess what it says. He is not a man that he should lie. God doesn't change his mind. He knows what he wants to do. He knew you when you were in your mother's womb. He knew the tragedies that life would bring on you before you ever breathed your first breath. Amen. God knew you while you were formed and woven together by the mysterious forces of creative power in the womb of your mother. He knew what your family was going to be like. He knew the trials and tribulations that you would face. He knew the relationships and the people that you would come to. God knows everything about you. He knows things about you that you may not even know yourself and may even never discover. Hallelujah. But God has this funny little way of sharing with us what he wants to do. It says in the book, in the prophet, Amos chapter 3 and verse 7, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. Without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. God has a plan. I know the plans that I have for you, to do you good and not to do you evil. God wants to do good things in the lives of his people. What he's looking for, not permission, but what he's looking for is cooperation. Many years ago, the Lord called me into the ministry. I went from the Staten Island, New York to Jackson, Mississippi with two suitcases and a bass guitar. Who would have ever predicted that 25 or almost 30 years later that I would be here in Fairfield, Illinois in the Midwest preaching to you folks? I'm here to testify and to tell you that long ago God had a plan. Who would have ever predicted, amen, that my ex-brother-in-law, my nephews would be here in church with me today? But God knew from a long time back when he brought me to Fairfield, Illinois. Oh, yes. And I'm here to tell you, God keeps revealing more and more and more sitting on a house for 18 months. The easiest house I've ever had to fix up. The best deal I've ever got. It's taken me longer to do that, and I haven't even hardly lifted a finger, had to do any work in that house compared to the others. Had everything hired out and done. It was such a great deal. Why is it taking me so long to get this house back on the market? Why am I so frustrated with myself at being able to get this house done? But God knew from a long time back, not that Brother Ivan would be here, and not that my mom and dad would be here, not that my brothers and my sister would be here. God knew even then, even that my grandma would come one day, and she would breathe her last right here in Fairfield, Illinois. And God knew that my aunt, who's 70 some odd years old, 75, 76 years old, would one day walk off of a plane in St. Louis and get in my car and drive over to Fairfield and look at that little bitty old house and say, I want that house. Why? Because God has a plan. We may not always understand all the pieces and parts of it, but God has a plan for you. He had a plan before you, before your parents were even born, before your grandparents were even born. God was working a plan in your life. I need you to understand something today. Amen. God wants to do something in this church that you have never seen. God wants to do things in your lives. Amen. And you have been fussing with Him and fighting with Him and trying to stop Him, rebelling with Him. I've been praying, God, what is wrong with their church? God, what is wrong with me? God, what is wrong? It seems like we try to do things and we pray and we fast and we preach and we testify and we do this and we do that, but nothing seems to happen. God said, you know, I'll tell you what it is. It's the people that are holding me back. The people won't cooperate with what I'm trying to do. And let me tell you something. I understand what God is saying there. Because when I went to Jackson, Mississippi, I didn't go to be a preacher, but I went to be a piano player. I went to be a musician, and I spent a whole entire year studying music theory and playing the piano. I could play some pretty fancy pieces on the piano by the time I got done. Oh, yes. But as I slept through the music theory final, I began to come to a realization I was not cut out for music theory. I began to come to a realization I was no Brother Lowell Beckel. I couldn't sing that good. I come to a realization I was no Rob Rory. I couldn't play the bass that good. I come to a realization I was no Stacy Morse that could play that piano so pretty. Oh, when I sat down in a class that was called a Bible class and we began to read the scriptures together, something began to stir inside of my soul. I became hungrier and hungrier and hungrier for the Word of God. And I went back to school the next year and said, I don't want to take any more music classes. I don't care if I ever sing another song or see another instrument. I want to get in these Bible classes. And I went from a major in music to a double major in missions and theology. And when I walked out of the registrar's office with my new schedule and all my Bible classes, I felt like I was walking on cloud nine. Why? Because God was leading me in the direction that He wanted me to go. Some of you glad that Brother Rob went to Bible college? You got a lot of questions about the Bible. Aren't you glad you got somebody you can go to? He may not always have the answers, but he knows how to find them. Why? Because he went to college to find out how to do that. And I have never lost my fire and desire to study and enjoy this Word of God. It never ceases to amaze me. But I had to learn to become cooperative with what God was wanting to do in my life. And I came to Fairfield, Illinois. And they were having a man come preach who was a premier preacher. He was an amazing orator. And he was sure to become the next pastor of this church. And Virgil Tatum got a hold of me by the nape of the neck. And he never let me sit on those pews that you're sitting on today. He made me get up on this this platform. I didn't want to be up on this platform. He looked at me and he pointed his finger at me and he said, you are going to be the next pastor of this church. And I tell you, Brother Philip, I said, that's the last thing I think I ever want to think about doing. It was the last thing on my mind. And I fought God 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 and I fought God. Some of you, I fought God for years. But I'm here to tell you something tomorrow today. If you will start cooperating with Him, the log jams in the Spirit will turn loose. And then the Bible says the river of living water will flood from your soul. It's time for us to stop telling God what He can and what He cannot do. And it's time for us to say, God, Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Hallelujah. There was a man at the pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem. He had been for 38 years struggling with his sin. And his sin was so bad that God had stricken him. And somehow he had been stricken with a crippling disease. I don't know about you, but I don't want to sin so that God has to strike me with some kind of a crippling disease. Oh, but Jesus went and found this man out, and he walked up to him, and he'd asked around a little bit about it and found out, and he walked up to the man and he asked him a question. He wasn't asking for his permission, he was asking for his cooperation. And he said, do you want to get better? Amen. Hallelujah. I want to get better. I'm tired of hearing about and hearing from people, then they try this and they've tried that and it's nothing's working and I can't get through and I can't break through and I can't do this and I can't do that. What do you mean, can't? Of course you can't, because can't never did anything. Of course you can't. It's time to stop can'ting and it's time to stop trying to tell God what He can and He cannot do in your life. When God says, I want to do something, what you need to do is say, God, that sounds like a good idea. Let's do it.
Yeah. Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I had you going there with me for a minute, but I lost you. Do you want to get back? Do you want to be made whole? And I'm using this healing illustration because it highlights a spiritual dynamic of authority. It highlights a spiritual dynamic. And we are Americans. We think we're the boss. We're Americans. We think we've got the control. Don't nobody tell me what to do. And we bring that into the church. And we bring that into the kingdom of God. And we refuse to submit ourselves to the pastor. We refuse to submit ourselves to the Spirit of God. We refuse to submit ourselves to the Word of God. And we struggle and we wrestle. And nothing seems to go right for us. Because we are fighting God every minute. But I'm here to tell you something today. When you say this is what God wants, this is what God can, and you start cooperating with Him, I'm here to tell you that the doors are going to open up, that the windows of heaven are going to open up. That doesn't mean you're not going to have trouble. That doesn't mean you're not going to have trial. But what it means is you're going to be working together with God.
Hallelujah.
You want to see signs and you want to see wonders. I want to see signs. I want to see wonders. I want to see healing. I want to see miracles. I want to see the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When you look in the book of Acts, you see what brings about that power. The Bible says that God was working with them. There was a spirit of cooperation between them and God. And God said, I want to preach my good news. I want to get the word out. Who wants to go and preach it for me? And those men and women that said, we'll go and preach it. Oh, those prophet Isaiahs that said, here we are, Lord. Send us. They went out. And the Bible says signs followed them. Why? Because they were cooperating with the gift of God's Holy Spirit. They were cooperating with the will of God and the plans of God. They were stepping into even the kingdom of the Holy One. They were walking as ambassadors.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
And this man did what we all do. He started explaining to Jesus why that couldn't happen. One of the biggest mistakes that you'll ever make in your walk with God is ever beginning to think that anything God is doing in your life is about you.
Right.
One of the biggest mistakes you'll ever make in your gifting and calling of God is to begin to think that your gifts and your callings and your abilities have anything to do with you. But God empowered you as He saw fit. He distributed the gift to you as He saw fit so that you might use it as He sees fit to bring glory to His power and to His name.
That's right.
And He made some interesting excuses here. First of all, He said, I don't have no friends. Oh yes, I've used a lot of these excuses myself in my walk with God. Well, God, I come from a church in New York. It was a small church because it had been blown apart by a church split. And I never really had the appropriate mentorship of a man of God. Everything it seems like I've ever been a part of has been broken, has been torn, has been tattered, and it seems like the engine in the car has got knocks, and the brakes vibrate. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I get an amen from somebody? It seems like wherever I go, whenever I do, it seems like it's been a frustrating time. And I have often said to myself, because I have not had a man of God in my life, I cannot do what God is calling me to do. We are full of excuses. But God doesn't really care.
That's right.
Just looks like that comment. God doesn't really care. Moses said the same thing when he went to the burning bush. God said, Moses, I think I've got a plan here. Actually, I told Abraham about it, and he knew, and he told the folks that 400 years of slavery was going to come to an end one day. And Moses, it looks like it's just about 400 p.m. It's time for me to fulfill my will and my promise to my people. And Moses said, but God. Oh, come on now. But God, you can't do that. I don't have anybody, he said. You'd be surprised when you look through the Bible how similar all the excuses are. How similar they all look to each other. But I don't have anybody. I like what he said. Well, I can't talk plain. And then God got so angry with Moses. He said, who made your mouth?
Right.
Now would be a good time for you to shut it.
Right.
God needs to get our shoes off of our feet and our mouths shut in order to make us cooperative to do what He wants to do in us and through us. Hard-headed, rebellious, always arguing and debating with God. God is looking for somebody that doesn't think that they have to give Him permission, or that thinks that God has to have our permission. Somebody that realizes that He's much bigger than we are, much greater than we are, much smarter than we are, much more loving than we are, has much more desire to bless us than we ever could possibly imagine, and submit ourselves and become cooperative to Him and say, God, what am I talking about? Do what you want to do with me. We've got our cures and we've got our solutions. The man said, if I could get down in the water for whatever superstition that they had about the water and the pool, if there was a spring that bubbled every, I don't know if they had a little old faithful geyser down in there that bubbled once a year. I don't know what they had going on there. I know they had their share of earthquakes and as any other place with springs. And I don't know what was going on there. This guy had his mind set on things that were never going to come to pass. And he'd been there, the Bible says, sitting on that porch for a very long time. We can make excuses. And I'll tell you what, you will live your life in defiance to God and never cooperate with Him and never know the depths of the joy of walking in His will. The Bible says, Jesus said in Gethsemane, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." And Paul later said that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and now is set down at the right hand of the Father in majesty. Jesus said through the prophet John the Apostle in the book of Revelation in one place that those who overcome will sit down with me in my throne as I am sit down with my Father in His throne. That's the Bible I'm preaching to you today. God is calling us to a very lofty position. But are we willing to let Him work? There's an old folk theology idea that the Bible says God will work, but who will let Him? How many of you have ever heard that before? How many of you believe that's in the Bible? It's not in the Bible. It doesn't say that. It has never said that. It will never say that. It says, God will work, and who will let it? If you believe that's what it says, then you need to change to a different translation, because your King James translation is causing you to have folk theologies that don't exist. The Bible does not say God will work, and who will let Him. In the King James, it says, God will work, and who will let it? And the word let in the Shakespearean English means stop. It means hold it back. And what that actually is translated at in modern day English, and for those of you as Rush Limbaugh would say, who are from Rio Linda, it means God will work, and who is going to stop Him?
Amen.
I'm telling you the truth. God wants to work. You're not going to stop it. But He already, what did He say? What did Mordecai say to Esther in the book of Esther? He said, Esther, you need to go to the king. And you need to go in there and tell him what Haman's doing. Because otherwise we're going to be destroyed. And Esther said, oh, I can't do that. Don't you know if I go into the king, he could have me killed for walking in without an invitation? And Mordecai sent a letter back to her. And he said, let me tell you something, young lady. You don't know but what God has brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this. And He's not looking for your worries and your excuses and your best friends to get with you. What He's looking for is your cooperation and agreement with Him that He can. Stop trying to tell Him what to do as if He didn't already know. Before we even open our mouths, the Bible says God knows what we have need of before we ever ask it. But I'm talking to some people today. You're eating the fruit off of the low branches. You've been rooting around for worms underneath the fruit tree of God's blessings for too long. It's time for you, amen, to get a little scrap in you. It's time for you to scrabble up that tree and reach for the high fruit. Reach for the ripe fruit that's been exposed to the sunlight of God's favor. It's time for you. Amen. It's like you can go over here and do this and nothing seems to work out. Just a second. Then you run over here and try to do this. And let me tell you something. You can waste your whole entire life trying to circumvent the will of God. But God's will not be circumvented. You may die and pass off this scene never having done His will. You may die and go to a devil's hell. Jesus said there will come those and say, have we not cast out devils in your name? Have we not? And God is going to say, depart from me. I never even knew who you were. Why? Because they were running around doing their own thing. They were not cooperating with God. It's time for the church. It's time for me. It's time for you to stop making excuses and start cooperating.
That's right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's right. Thank you.
He started in with his excuses. How many times has God heard our excuses? And he cut him short and he said, pick up your bed and walk. The Bible says, in me. Everybody say, the me. How long does it take to get in the will of God? How long does it take to find yourself doing what God calls you to do? How long does it take to change a life of mistakes and turn it all around? I always say it's never too late to start doing the right thing. I'll tell you when. God is ready now. I'll tell you when. It's whenever you decide that you're not the boss and God is. It's whenever we decide that we're ready to be flexible and cooperative. And I'm going to tell you something. There's no better place to be. I fought this pastoring thing for years. God has given me favor in our section and amongst other United Pentecostal church ministers. I have a list that's almost as long as our church members of men that I know that don't come to this church, men of God that preach the gospel, that I'm friends with, that I have connected with, and that I could call them at any time and talk to them and communicate with them. I may not have a mentor, but I'm here to tell you, if you'll cooperate with God, He'll give you 24 mentors. You may not have what you think you require, but if you'll just cooperate with Him, He'll put you in a situation and immediately things will begin to change in your life. Let's all stand together today. I don't know what you were expecting. I don't really know what I was expecting out of this service today. I had all kinds of great thoughts and great messages, and everything was just swirling around in my head. And the Bible says, though, that Jesus told this man, take up your bed and walk. Why did he say that to him? Because Jesus had a plan. It was the will of God to heal that man and forgive his sins. How many of you know today that it's the will of God for you not only to be healed of sicknesses, but how many of you know that it's the will of God for you to forgive the sins that you have committed in the past? And not only will He forgive the sins that you have committed, but He will remove the judgments that have weighed, that the curses that were upon you. The Bible says in one command, in one split second, Jesus forgave the man's sins and erased the years of wantonness from his life and lifted the hand of judgment off of him. Don't tell me what God can and can't do, because you have no right to do that. Only God knows. If you're willing, last week we talked about obeying willingly. If you want to be cooperative, God could heal you. He doesn't need your permission. The Bible says in the prophecy that God was found by people that weren't even looking for Him. You read through the scriptures. He showed up to places, the people, they couldn't have cared less. He walked into their lives and he brought His light and His truth and changed their lives, and they weren't even looking for Him. This man was not looking for Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody. I said he wasn't looking. Jesus came and found him, because that's the kind of God that we serve. When that man grabbed a hold of his bed, he was immediately healed and stood up on his feet for the first time in 38 years. And Jesus said, don't do any more of that sinning stuff that you was doing, because something worse will happen to you. Can somebody say hellfire and damnation? But I went to that scripture text. Of course, there were many, many places that I could go. There are many scripture texts that I could have read. Somebody, let's bow our heads together. Somebody in this building, and I'm here to tell you, when we were worshiping and everybody was praying and worshiping like they were, I felt it bubbling up. I felt it powering up. I felt it like I was some kind of an air compressor. And God was building up the pressure in the Holy Ghost. And I knew that anybody that would connect and couple with what I'm saying here today and with the Spirit of God that's moving in this building, as soon as you couple up to the power, amen, the air pressure that is in the presence and Spirit of God will immediately be released into your life. Hallelujah! It was like one of those gas powered things that they use, power washers. It was like the engine. Some guy came in and pulled the cord and choked it down, and then it began to purr. And then he opened her up wide, and you could hear that engine roar. And all somebody would have to do is pick up the hose and pull the trigger, and it would blow the pain off of your heart. It would blow the mold and grime off of your soul that maybe has been collecting there for years. And God would clean us and give us a fresh start. I'm here to tell you in the Holy Ghost that there is a ministry that is being born in somebody's heart in this building today. There are callings of God from heaven, in the will of God that He is trying to get across to somebody in this church house today. And what He wants is your cooperation. If you'll take a step of cooperation towards Him today, He is going to show you how great, amen, He will show you the great sufferings, the great battles, and the great victories that He will achieve in your life. I try to refrain from speaking in tongues when I am preaching. I don't want to use tricks on you and send you home thinking, well, He just played a few tricks on us to get us excited and stirred up. But I'm here to tell you right now, I can speak in tongues in the Holy Ghost that would make the hair jump off of your scalp this morning, because that's how much authority and pressure is built up in the Spirit of God. Why don't we just throw up our hands again right now, both of our hands as high as they will go, and let's just shout, hey!